bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So I express my prayer for your desire to be with us today in a time of worship as a congregation. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you desire or wish to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. I titled the lesson, Five Great Bible Truths. I know there's more than five great Bible truths, but I'm just going to suggest these for your consideration in our lesson this morning. By way of introduction, Jesus gave a parable one time about the parable of the sower. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, this verse is not in your notes, but in Mark 4, verse 19, Jesus said, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. To avoid the word of God in your life and mine from being choked and us becoming unfruitful, I'm suggesting that we be reminded of these Bible truths that I've listed in our lesson this morning. Five Bible truths. And I think the more we focus on these five and others, but they should help us to be focused on living correctly and doing that which is right. Number one, remember that life is short. Remember that life is short. I put in your notes, the Bible mentions a man that we sometimes say lived the longest, at least the one recorded in the Bible. If I asked you his name, I know it, you would know it even without looking at my notes. But in Genesis 5, verse 27, it says, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lived the longest of any other person. Yet at the end, perhaps he and his family are saying and thinking together, oh, just give me a few more years. Well, I'd like to make 1,000. I want to live for a millennium. Wouldn't that be great? No, I don't want to die at 969. Methuselah's dad was Enoch. Enoch's dad, as far as I can tell, was the second oldest man in the Bible. I don't know if you know who Enoch's father is, Methuselah's grandfather. I'll give you just a moment. Think to yourself. But in Genesis chapter 5, verse 20, it says, all the days of Jared were 962, and he died. 962. I don't know who the third is or the fourth, but a good guess might be Noah. In Genesis 9:29, says, all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died, the Bible says. But think about the length of your life and mine. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, David said, there is but a step between me and death. Just a step. In Job 14, verse 1, it says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Anybody here not having any trouble? Anybody here free from troubles or trials? No. Even though we're here, Job said, a few days. In Job 7, verse 6, it says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Not many people in our generation know what a weaver's shuttle is, or even how long it is, but when that weaver may thread that thread through his design, and then just swish, swish. That's it. Our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Doesn't take long. Psalm 90, verse 10, you're familiar with. The days of our years are 70. But if by reason of strength, they become 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off and we fly away. David said in the Psalms, in Psalm 103, for as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes. gracious, sure does. But the wind passes over it and it's gone. 1 Peter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. In Psalm 144, verse 4, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes by. A shadow. James chapter 4, verse 14 asks the question, what is your life? And he answers it by saying it's a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. The Bible gives several illustrations or visuals to tell us what our life is like. Our life is like a vapor, a shadow, grass, the flower of the field. 70, maybe 80 or more, but then we still fly away. Swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Few days. Just a step between me and death. Saw this in the obituaries. Jerry Martin, after more than 30 years as a border security official, Jerry Martin was ready to retire. Next Tuesday was to be his last day with the U.S. Bureau of Customs and Border Protection, a day his grandchildren looked forward to as much as he did. Mr. Martin died Tuesday after suffering a heart attack in his home in El Cajon. He was 61. I'm going to retire next week, he said. 7 days. He died that day. But a step between me and death. This was in yesterday's paper. I looked to make sure my name wasn't in the listings and so on.
I did make that happen.
Mike Gehring, 48, interesting phrase, passed away suddenly on August 2nd. Passed away suddenly. 48 years old. The man next to him lived to be 95 years old. 2 days ago on Friday, August 7th, I did a funeral for Teddy Nieto's daughter. Ted and June Miller, granddaughter. They're members of the Church of Christ that meets on L Street. She was 28 years old. 28. But a step between me and death. Got a telephone call last week from a childhood friend of mine in the neighborhood, Dennis Cross. He called to tell me that my other friend, Dennis, lived on one side of me where I grew up, and Jim Doctor lived on the other side, two houses down. And Dennis called to say, Brian, I knew him. Why would Denny Cross call me? Called to tell me Jim Doctor passed away. Doctor's a year younger than I am. My oldest brother, Randall, died at 33 years of age. My dad died when he was 69. He's a year older than me. For those that haven't figured that out yet, I'm 68. You haven't done the math yet. Christine's sister died at age 44. When you think about Christianity and spirituality, one of your first thoughts should be that life is short. There's but a step between me and death. Second, remember that death is sure. That death is sure. David said in Psalm 89, verse 48, what man is there that lives and shall not see death? Good question. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, Solomon, the wise man, said, there's a time for everything. And in that list of times, he mentioned there's a time to die. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, the statement, for the living know that they shall die. We're familiar with the Hebrew writer in chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed. It's declared. It's set. It's appointed and the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. Solomon gives a warning in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. We can't even boast of tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. There's just a step between me and death. The question always comes, you know, well, when will we die? I don't know. The painter Raphael died with a painting half finished, history tells us. The last entry of the diary of Sir Walter Raleigh was, tomorrow we will, and then it told what they had planned for tomorrow. Last entry in his diary. He expected to be alive tomorrow. I remember a Bible class teacher once told his students, he said, students, you need to repent at least the day before you die. One student said, teacher, we don't know when we'll die. Teacher said, then repent today. Repent today. Saw a sign on a marquee outside a church building. Said, many who think that they will become a Christian at the 11th hour die at 10:30. Oh, yeah, I'll become a Christian someday. The 11th hour of my life. Yeah, right at the very end. Yeah, but what if you die at 10:30? I remember a person asked a preacher where the story was told. He said, preacher, would you stop preaching Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? You talk about that all the time. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. The preacher said, I'll tell you what. I'll stop preaching that if you'll make me one promise. Make me one promise and I'll stop preaching that. Man, thought for a moment. Okay. I'll promise. What do you want me to promise? He said, promise me that you won't die. If you can promise me that you won't die, I'll stop preaching that. When David and Bathsheba had a baby, the baby died in the first year. And after David finished his mourning over the loss of the baby, in 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, David said to those who were around him, can I bring him back again? The answer was no. He said, I'll go to him, but he'll not return to me. Remember that death is sure. Death is sure. Number three, another great Bible truth, is remember that there's a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. Christine got a jury summons this past week. I noticed on the back of it. That was interesting. Request for excuse. You can get out of jury duty.
Yeah, good luck.
I request an excuse from jury service because, and it lists 17 possible situations that can exist for you to get out of jury duty. The 18th just says other, so you can make up something. There's at least 18 or more possible situations that you can write in for and get out of jury duty. You can't get out of judgment. There, you can't write an excuse to get yourself out of a judgment day appearance. So remember, number three, that there's a judgment to come. It's an individual judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God, unless you have a good excuse. No, it doesn't say that. No excuses. There's nothing like that in the Bible that says you can write out an excuse and not appear before God in judgment. You will appear and I will appear. We are going to appear before the greatest judge. In Acts because he, meaning God, has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he's given assurance to all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. The one that will judge us in the last day by God's appointment is the one who was raised from the dead, and that's Jesus the Christ. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 says that refers to the Lord, the righteous judge. The greatest judge. I'm afraid to appear before Judge Judy. This one. This will be worse if I'm at peace with God. Number three, there's going to be the greatest crowd ever assembled. When Jesus gives an illustration about the final days, in Matthew 25, verse 32, it says, before him shall be gathered all nations. Everyone who has ever lived, everyone who's living now, and everyone who ever will live will stand before Jesus in judgment. There is a judgment to come. There'll be the greatest books that are opened. We cannot plead ignorance of the law. That does not excuse us from judgment. But it doesn't even work in the laws of the land. But books will be opened, and you need to know the basis for judgment. What is going to determine my salvation or my non-salvation? In John 12, verse 48, Jesus himself said, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings, the one has one that shall judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. So we know what the words of Jesus are, the word of God. In Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. In Romans 2, verse 2, it says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And Jesus said himself in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. The basis of judgment will be the word of truth, which is the word of God, the word of Jesus. And you cannot plead ignorance of that. Oh God, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Or I didn't know I was supposed to attend a worship assembly. You can't plead ignorance. It doesn't get you off. And then you'll hear the greatest verdict and you have the greatest separation of all time. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 32, before him shall be gathered all nations. All nations. No one's left out. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 34, the king shall say to those on his right hand, as they come, cause them blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Verse 41, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me. Remember, there's a judgment to come. Number four, remember that there is a hell to shun. Jesus himself said in Matthew 10, verse 28, fear not him who is able to kill the body, but not the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is described, and it's not a pretty picture at all in the biblical description. In Mark 9, verse 48, it says, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Someone might say, oh, that's imagery. It doesn't matter to me. If it's real, literal, or imagery, or figurative, or symbolic, it doesn't matter to me. That picture is telling me, I don't want to experience that. In Revelation 21, verse 8, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Remember, we're all appointed once to die. But we can avoid a second death, an eternal death. I can't get out of the first death. That's no point. The living know that they shall die. Even if someone says, well, Brian, I don't believe in hell, that doesn't destroy it. Saw a bumper sticker. Says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That sounds pretty good on the outside, but I want to switch it around a little bit. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, that's true. Thy word is truth. I hope you believe it. Number five, the last great Bible truth I have for your consideration this morning. Remember that there's a heaven to gain. A heaven to gain. In John 14, beginning of verse 1, the text that was read to us this morning. Jesus said it, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a heaven to gain. You can go to heaven without a lot of things, but you can't go to heaven without Jesus. And that's an important lesson for us. That's the reason why we gather together for worship. It's the reason why we are involved in evangelism, in getting the gospel message out to all people or all nations. Because it's a message of salvation. Because of these great Bible truths that we've listed. Because life is short. Because death is sure. Because there will be a judgment. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. You need to become a Christian. These Bible truths should move us to obedience. These Bible truths, if once we have obeyed, should keep us on God's side. Just knowing this should motivate us to let others know to whom we belong. It should move us to stand for that which is right. Because these are great Bible truths. You spend eternity depends upon what you do with these Bible truths and others. Jesus, when he commissioned his apostles, right before he ascended back to the gave them what we call a great commission, a charge, if you will, an order, a command. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall condemn. If you don't believe the gospel message, and if you missed heaven by a fraction, you've still missed it. You've missed it. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. You're here this morning. And again, you know these things. You know that your life is short. You know that death is sure. You know there's going to be a judgment. You know, I don't want to go to eternal torment. I want to go to heaven. Then you need to respond favorably to the gospel message and let your request be known that I want to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sin. That's the Bible, Acts 2, verse 38. I didn't make that up. And that's the invitation we extend always. Let's stand together. If you need to respond in a public way,